He has been so good to me. Just between this morning early, about 4 o'clock, and this daylight today, I experienced the Lord healing my body. And I had a pain this week, and something was a discomfort, just something small and minute. This morning, I asked God, I said, God, would you? And just a matter of a little bit, I felt the healing power of the Lord just take it away. Several times I pushed on the spot, trying to feel it. And I'm so thankful for the healing power of the Lord, just in a small manner of just asking, believing God. I want you to pray with us this morning for the healing of bodies and souls this morning. We want God to undertake. Sister Martin is at home. We want the Lord to heal her body. Also, we want to believe the Lord to touch the Wortham family. They were sick last night, very sick. They still have fever. And whatever's been going around is caught up with them. But we want the healing virtue to flow to them today. Other needs today, our God is well able to heal. Brother and Sister Riley, man, they have been in a battle. Amen. Sister Riley's been in a battle of different things for the last 3 years, 4 years maybe. Brother Riley now, and I want to believe the Lord for healing, virtue, the touch of the Lord today. And you know what? If God could open blind eyes, God could heal these needs. God is magnificent, but sometimes we don't let God have the small things. You ever had a little bitty small hurt? There's been times I've cut myself and I'm bleeding. I could not stop and continue bleeding because I take blood thinners. And I just said, Jesus, now this is enough. I need help. And I looked down and it stopped. Simple things. If God could take care of the simple, He could take care of the big. And if He could take care of the big, He could take care of the common. Insignificant things that we just sometimes will put a band-aid on, but our God is faithful. Amen. Hallelujah. I love it when a little child walks up and says, would you pray? I'm hurting. I've got a bobo. I'm glad that my God is able to heal. Amen. But I'm grateful today for the healing on the inside. The heart that has been wounded, hurt, stepped on, bruised, done wrong, stabbed, cheated, and broken. God is a healer. Would you lift your hands right now? Let's take our needs. God, we thank you. Thank you for the power of your Spirit today, God. I love you. God, I thank you for the absolute power of your Spirit this morning. God, that I'm able to feel you, know you, Lord, and receive of you what you have for me today. God, I thank you, Lord, because, God, you're on time this morning, Lord, to heal and to minister, to do your will, to do your work in this place. Thank you for the joy that you have for my heart and my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Good to see you in the house of the Lord, every one of you. Amen. Good to be, amen, in God's house this evening or this morning. Amen. Thank God for the protection this morning that you got here. Amen. Our class may be dismissed. Amen. Y'all haven't been in Sunday school class in over a month. Amen. Y'all may be dismissed in Jesus' name. And every one of you, we sure love and appreciate you. Appreciate my church family. And I love you enough to tell the truth to you, to preach the truth to you. Amen. I had a person just recently, he said, Brother Crosswhite, he's another pastor. He said, I want you always to have liberty to tell me the truth, even when it's not convenient for me. And I looked at him and I said, I will. And I told him a little story about, I love you enough to break your leg. And the young preacher looked at me and he thought, whoa. And I illustrated about the little sheep, the little lamb that keeps straying. And the shepherd tried and tried again to pull him back to the fold, but finally, that little rebellious lamb gets the greatest compliment ever. The shepherd breaks his leg. Somebody would look at him a bit and think that shepherd's cruel, but that shepherd knew. From thence on, that little lamb had to ride on the shoulders of that shepherd. You ever seen those pictures? The lamb on the draped across the shoulder. And every time he would drink, shepherd had to hold him up. Every time he ate, shepherd's holding him up till his little leg heals. They tell me that when that leg heals and when he's finally able to hobble and walk, that lamb becomes the most loyal sheep in the flock because it recognizes, it gets used to the touch, the care, the voice of the shepherd and doesn't want to get away. Hallelujah. Are you thankful for the blessings of the Lord today? Praise God. You have your Bible. We want you to turn with us to Proverbs, the 28th chapter. I love the book of Proverbs. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. And ironically, many of our months have 30 or 31 days. And it's a good dose of medicine every day. The day is the 11th to read Proverbs 11. Tomorrow, Proverbs 12. You'll be amazed in just reading and taking that dose every day. Something out of it is going to be appropriate for your day. Praise God. But we want to look at Proverbs 28 today and verse 26. Proverbs 28:26. The scripture says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the victory, the joy that you've given unto us today. That we could walk with you, Lord, and follow you down the path of righteousness. Thank you for the beauty of your spirit. Thank you for the grace that you have for us today. I love you and I worship your name. And I thank you for what you're going to do today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. God bless you for standing and honoring the precious word of the Lord. And I thank you for bringing your Bible. How many just brought their Bible to the house of the Lord today? Amen. Oh, friend. Amen. I was at a conference this week and we got inside the sanctuary Friday night, and I thought I brought my Bible in from the car, and I looked around, it wasn't there. I asked my bride, did you get my Bible? And she said, no. Well, I made a trip back to the car, and I got my sword. Amen. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing like bringing your Bible to church. Amen. We got I have devices. Amen. I could get my Bible. I have Bible programs on my devices. But there's nothing like feeling the pages, even of this precious book. This is our best friend right here. Amen. The word of the Lord. Praise God. I want to just talk to you today in the scripture we read that he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. I want to talk to us about the path of the foolish. The Lord has spoken to me from this. And I begin to pray about it, and I twist it, and I try to get rid of it, and begin to think, Lord, that's just, I don't know about that. But the more I pray, the more the Lord began to emphasize for me to deliver it this morning. To talk to us about the path of the foolish. Oh, we know all the different things, and you could fill in the blanks today, but permit me today to talk to you. The Bible says at the beginning in Psalms, the 14th chapter, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. And the Bible says the fool is corrupt, abominable in his works. And there's none that doeth good. And there's no way that he can achieve goodness, the Bible says. All because he said there is no God. Now I know that there are atheists and people out there that will make a proclamation that there is no God. Verbally, they will make that. But today, the Bible says, the fool says in his heart, that person begins to proclaim,
and he lives as if there is no God. It's more than just saying it. It's more than bragging that you're atheist. But it's when you live like there is no God, you're in trouble. And the path of the fool, amen, is a corrupt path, abominable. And it's crazy when somebody lives like there is no God. Now, Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Another place it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You find the very things of the word of the Lord where the foolish are those that don't want to know better, don't want to do better, and please don't tell them any better. That's the way of the fool. But the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is not necessarily that I am scared of God, but I'm afraid of not having God. I'm afraid of not having the closeness of God. Oh, yes, I am afraid. I am scared of God. I know his power. I know what God can do. I know what God will do, amen, to those that are living a life of corruption. And I know how God can bless somebody that seeks him. The fear of the Lord is just the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Just the beginning. Psalms 53 also says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Proverbs 14:9 says, fools make a mock at sin. Make a mock at sin. But amongst the righteous, there is favor. A fool begins to mock and begin to feel like sin is okay. That going against God. Sin is simple rebelling against the things of God. And when a fool goes down that path and they begin to mock what is right, whether they mock with their mouth or mock with their life, they're going to hit that place where they will be corrupt. Another scripture, 14:16 of Proverbs, the wise man feareth and departeth from evil. But look what a fool does. Fool rageth and is confident. You ever seen that type of person? Even though you can warn them, talk to them, you can begin to try to explain to a foolish person. But their confidence and their rage is, I got to do it. I will do what I want to do. Don't impose against my right. I've seen the foolish begin to say, this is my life. I'm going to live it like I want. With the same token, amen, they're going down the wrong path. The path of the foolish is a desperate pathway. Somebody say amen. The Bible says the tongue of the wise, in Proverbs 15:2, asketh knowledge aright. He's asking, God, show me, guide me, give me wisdom and knowledge. But the mouth of the fools poureth out foolishness. Isn't it crazy that I've been around people that had nothing but foolishness in their life, to where foolish things are pouring out of their mouth? Foolishness is in our world today. Our world is bound by foolishness because they don't regard God. Proverbs 17:24, wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of the fool at the ends of the earth. In other words, so far away. They got their vision on other things so far out. Is there from reality? That they don't even have a pulse upon their own life. They're so crazed by a drive with something in them that is so awkward against the things of God. Are you thankful that you come to the house today, the house of God, because there's something in you that still loves God and fears God? Are you thankful for the path of righteousness today, the goodness of God? Amen. You ought to lift your hand to the Lord, hands to God Almighty, and say, thank you, Lord, for grace in me. Thank you for blessing me. God, I thank you for that desire that you put in my soul, that I don't go down the path of a foolish person. Hallelujah. I tried to talk to him. I had a young man in the jail one day, and he was there. He was facing many years in the pen. And I asked him, I said, man, if you had to do it all again, what would you do? How would you live? He looked at me and he said, man, I'd do it all over again. Most of them will have a sense of remorse and would be grateful for a second chance to start over. But this boy admitted he didn't have a desire. But I have those that will tell me, as long as you're locked up, when I get out of here, I'm not going back. But how crazy, in 26 years of being at that jail, I see the same repeats over and over again. The Bible talks about the fool being like the dog that returns and eats his own vomit. And that fool goes right back to that folly, the Bible says. I'll never forget that day as just a little boy. I don't think my mom ever heard this. We were hunting in Louisiana, and we used deer dogs or to run the dogs. And there was an old dog that just, I mean, he upchucked. And my dad called us immediately because that dog was eating it. He said, I want you to see this. That's what the Bible says. And I can remember gagging and stepping back as just a little innocent boy. My dad pointed out, and he said, that's what the Bible says a fool does. It's like that dog eating his own vomit. It's a gross thing this morning on a Sunday morning, but it is a terrible thing when you watch somebody go back to their folly, especially after God has given them a second chance. Are you thankful for the grace and the mercy of God today? You ought to be grateful enough to say, I'm burning every bridge behind me. Amen. I'm not going to go down that old path anymore. I'm not going to hang around with that same old foolish crowd no more. God, I want to walk the path of righteousness. Oh, this is simple today, but there's something great in it. Amen. The simplicity and the wisdom. Amen. Knowing and identifying. But the fool, the Bible says, a fool's lips enter into contention. You ever seen a foolish person that just couldn't stay out of an argument? They had to put their two bits in. Just had to put their two bits in. You know what Proverbs 18:6 says? A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for stripes. He gets what he deserves. He's asking for it. You ever seen that type? I have school teachers in our church, and they, Sister Mullins would tell you, there's people that you just try to help. You try to help the foolish. You try to help these people. And old Brother Roach used to make a statement all the time. He said, you just can't fix dumb. And it's like this. I watched the same old path that people walk down in life, the path of the foolish. And I go, can't they ever rise up, wise up, wake up, and realize they're headed back to the same old thing? Friend, I'm thankful that God has delivered me, but I won't have sense to follow the right path. Amen. Proverbs 18:7, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. There's a lot of people get hung by their own tongue. I've been hung by my tongue. I've said things that's choked me. I've had things that I've said, but I want to tell you, when you continue, some people just don't learn from their mistakes. We talked to the ministers the other day, and I talked to them, and I said, this is what you need in your life. You need hindsight, but you don't need to live in your rearview mirror. You need foresight, but the way to have good foresight with God is to have insight. You better check your heart in the way that you're going, and you got to keep yourself with the compass of the Word of God. Stay with God's GPS. Man, in Houston this week, we would go places and the Tomball area used to be a country, very back country. They raised horses, their cows, or pastures. And we may be going down a road that brand new houses there, million-dollar homes. And right next to it's an old farmhouse with cows in their little 14 acres. The city is engulfing the country. And they put new roads. And this road goes here, this road goes there, different places. And I found myself at a place thinking, man, we're going the wrong way. This is an old country road. And all of a sudden, I come out and there's big old edifices on the Farmer Market Road called Baker Hughes, BJ Hughes. Big place there. And I'm thinking, wow, in the middle of nowhere. Amen. I thought I was nowhere, going nowhere. Friend, when you're on the right path and you're following God's GPS, His Spirit, I'm telling you, God will lead you the right path, even when it doesn't seem to be right. Amen. Even when it don't feel right to yourself. I'm glad that the Word and the ways of God are always right. Hear me? Amen. Even when things don't seem, you need to stick with the book. Even when things don't feel, you need to stick with the Word of God. Even when people on the outside tell you, you're going the wrong way. I've had passengers in my car that say, do you know where you're going? Do you know where you're going? You should have turned back there. And there's a lot of ignorant people in this world that will try to tell you, oh, you need to turn this way. Amen. But friend, you don't understand. Amen. I'm following a higher power. I'm leading my life according to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The bystander doesn't get the thing done, but those that walk by faith. Amen. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light on my path. Thank God for the word. Hallelujah. We're going somewhere today. When another scripture said, a fool's delight is not seemly. You know, I've had people. Yesterday was at a place of business and a store. And there were people there that this young girl, 14, 15 years old. And her mama was bragging on her. Mama said, well, she said, we're Christians. She said, but my daughter, she said gypsyism. That's what the word she used. And she said she likes spiritual stuff. And they were buying dark books. You know, when I say dark book, I'm talking about things more than Harry Potter stuff. And this little girl, I looked on her ear, and she had some little symbols that were hanging down in her, and around her neck was a necklace. And I go, they're not just doing this. This little girl knows what that is. And crystals and all these little emblems, I mean. And I know what they are because it's a sign of Wicca. And mama's proclaiming, I just let her go. She's in this fad. I want to tell you, friend, amen, you better watch the fads of the foolish. Amen. I want to keep my life, my mind clean and pure. Amen. In life, there's enough things that come against us without loading our wagon full of junk. Amen. The foolish things. I want the glory of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Be like one time when my kids were real little, Katie and Joe were real little, we were going on a trip, and I said, y'all go pack go get you some toys. We're going to be gone a little bit. Man, I can remember Katie going in her room. And Katie had all these dolls and all this. And she comes out, I mean, with all this stuff. I said, baby, we're only going to take just a little bit. You can't take your whole room. She said, Daddy, I just don't want to leave. I don't want to leave this behind. I don't want to leave this one behind. I don't want to leave this one behind. Folks, I'm going to tell you, amen, the delight of fools is, I got to have all this. I got to have, I gotta have this weight. I gotta have this crutch. I gotta have this. I gotta have that. Amen. But oh, friend, I'm thankful that I realize I got to have Him. Amen. I got to have the Spirit of God, the work of God, the Word of God, the ways of God. I've got to have the Holy Ghost in my life. Amen. Proverbs 20. It's for honor. It's an honor for a man to cease from strife. But a fool will always be meddling, always stirring. And we got a little fun deal that we say when somebody's meddling, that they're a spoon, always stirring up things. Don't be a whisk. Don't be a spoon. Don't be meddling. Well, you don't need a meddle. Amen. Proverbs says, speak not in the ears of a fool. He will despise the wisdom of your words. Proverbs 26 says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. The foolish pathway we need to stay away from. Hear me, just hang with me just a little bit. Proverbs 26 says, he that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the foot and drinketh damage. Don't depend on somebody that's foolish. Don't depend upon the foolish. God, give us wisdom. I don't want to be that part. I don't want to be part amongst that. Also, Proverbs 29:11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth an end afterwards. You ever been around somebody that just open their mouth and utter everything? God give us the ability not to go down that path. Next thing, Proverbs 28. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. That was a text today that I read. I want to talk to you today about that. The path of the foolish. Some characteristics. The world around us doesn't understand us. They don't understand the reason why you live the way you live. They regard us as fools. They regard you as something that is odd. But folks, Paul said we are fools for Christ. I'm thankful today that I found the path of righteousness. But friend, when you look at it and the world begins to tell you you're the fool, but you watch the lifestyle of individuals that are keep doing the same thing over and over. Amen. Over and over, they go down the same old path and do the same old destructive thing. I'm thankful that my God would give me the power to be an overcomer if I follow Him, when I follow Him, when I do His will and His word. The world regards the gospel as being something foolish. That you don't have to do it. The United States was a Christian nation when it was founded on biblical principles. But today they want to take everything of God away from us. The Ten Commandments has become the Ten Suggestions to many people. The thou shalt not becomes you're intruding on me. Friend, you need to stay with the book. You need to stay with conviction and with a conscience that says, God, I want to keep the principles of righteousness in my life. Amen. Oh, the marriage vows are no longer vows. It's a contract today. I want to tell you, the Word of God still teaches us, amen, to hang on. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not fornicate. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not trespass. Hey, that's the book today. But they want to take the Ten Commandments out. They want to take it out of the courthouse. But I like what that old boy said that day at that graduation in Oil City, Louisiana. The duck commander. You know what he said, Phil Robertson said? He said, the reason why, he said, because they're blind. And he said, if they took it out of the courthouse, every other law would be dissolved. He said, you know why is the Ten Commandments in the courthouse? Because where do you go when you break the Ten Commandments? When you commit adultery and there's divorce, you got to go to the courthouse. Commit perjury, you can go to the courthouse. All these things are there when you go to the courthouse. When you steal, you're going to court, honey. Amen. But they want to take it away because they want the laws dissolved. Just do as you please. But friend, this world is not our home. Amen. We're just passing through. We're strangers. We may be foolish to the eyes around us, but we're not fools. Our heart is fixed for the things of God. Look at the characteristic of the world today. The characteristic of our world is a fast-paced generation that don't even know where they're going. You ever been in a rush hour and had to be somewhere? Sister Kara grew up in the city, Grand Prairie area, Dallas area. Now, when you go back home, what took you as a child 20 minutes to get from here to there now takes you 2 hours. Thank God for Nacogdoches. The only rush hour we have is lunch hour. But in Houston, Dallas, the world is so congested. The world is so messed up to where it's anger, frustration. And it's not just behind the wheel. But I'm telling you, there's people that are living lives. Oh, and it's not just in the city, but it's in the country too. But I'm using the example of a foolish world that is stuck in a fast lane. But the fast lane is not taking them anywhere. They're stuck in a traffic jam of life because of the foolish intentions of the heart. I need God today. How about you? I need the help of God, the things of God. The behavior is a fool. It's crazy. Fools are dishonest. They act in godless manners. They vent their anger in front of everybody. They don't care who's looking, what they say. Their mouth, it just spews it out. They have no filters. They're disobedient. They will try the system. If there's a rule, they're going to see how much they could fudge the rule. Come on. They despise any discipline. They despise any instruction. They despise any help. It's all self-help. I don't need you. Folks, I need my God today. I need my brothers and sisters. I need the church of the living God. I need people to help me in this hour. Amen. We're not islands. We're not isolated. But I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord. I thank God for people that will help me in this world and people that will guide me. The church of the living God is a group of people that God has plucked out of the foolish path and put on the path of righteousness. It's for His name's sake. Amen. The spirit of a fool will speak unwisely, slanderously. They will mock. They quarrel. There's dissension. Their mouths are full, but their heads are empty. They rely on themselves. They make big words, but no deeds. A fool lacks good sense. Well, I need sense. I need the help of God. I need that ability in this hour to keep my mind. Amen. To keep my path. To keep my foot on the right way. A fool also holds the pursuit of truth in contempt by saying, I'll go my own way. I'll do my own thing. The next thing I find out is a fool gambles at opportunity. Not now. Not now. I want to keep on doing what one day when everything is right, I'll come to you, Jesus. When everything is better, I'll devote myself. Yesterday, flipping through a leadership book, it says, the leadership book, it's never too late to teach, and it's never too late to learn, and it's never too late to grow. And it's never too late to produce. I'm thankful today that I could be something for Jesus Christ. Amen. You may come in at the last moment of your life. Amen. But when you're on the path of righteousness, you're by the grace of God. Amen. I don't want to take advantage of the grace of the Lord. Amen. I don't want to gamble and say, oh, well, I will a little bit. God, when everything, getting all my ducks in a row. You don't get good to get God. You get God to get good. Foolish. Here's what they want. A foolish doer, there's no application. The Bible says we're foolish virgins, clean, separated, sanctified virgins. They were foolish because they procrastinated. They thought they could get it all done tomorrow. Jesus said they were called foolish virgins. There's people that are good people. There are people that are dedicated people. You could be dedicated and good and live a good moral life. But if you're not doing the will of God, you're a foolish virgin. No oil in your lamp? I'll do it tomorrow. I'll pray tomorrow. I'll have some time with God tomorrow. And you need to take advantage of every opportunity you got. Amen. The day is the day of salvation, the scripture says. The Bible talks about the foolish builder who built his life on the sand. Foolish builder. Foolish, prosperous farmer. Barnesville. But he sat back and said, "Ooh, I want to build me bigger. I want to increase my farm." The Lord said to him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. This night." Then there was a foolish servant, the foolish son. The foolish person is a person that has no, listen to this, discretion. If you ever pray for anything, there's two D's I want you to pray for. God, give me discretion. What is discretion, Pastor? The ability to have that insight to make proper decisions. Discretion that you could see ahead and make the right judgment. The next thing you pray for is discernment. Discretion and discernment are two important things that you need in your life. We're living in an hour where even in the church, if the devil could come and steal your discretion, your ability to know those that labor amongst you. You could be hoodwinked by anybody. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Hear me today as a pastor. There are preachers behind pulpits that mislead people. I want to tell you, you better not take my word for it. Hear me. You better not take my word for it. Even you better not take the word of a man. When the man gets out of the book, you need to know it. God, give us discretion. God, give us that ability to know that something is out of level. That church sign will not save you. You could call yourself a Pentecostal, but being Pentecost, you could be plenty lost. Penny lost too. Amen. I have people who look at me and say, "I'm Pentecostal." That don't get you in. But he that doeth the will of the Father, he that endureth to the end, he that walketh, I have people that are very sharp, but they're not living a fruitful, overcoming. They're not working the work of the kingdom. Kingdom-minded people's in mind of the King of Kings in their life. Discretion, discernment. We better have our radar on, friend. Not everything that says they're full of the Holy Ghost is full of the Holy Ghost. You can speak with other tongues, but if you don't have pure love, what good is your tongues? Sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Hear me, I'm talking to us today. We better have our heart in tune with God. Amen. I used to like it years ago. We listened to the radio. And an AM radio at night, you could catch that old station out of Del Rio. And I heard older people say, whenever they would find it, what was the name of it, brother? What was the name of that radio station? Somebody just quoted. Yes, XERF. I heard older people said their daddy, they work hard to tune it, get it right there on that old station. And daddy would take the knob off of it because they wanted to stay in tune. I want to tell somebody, I want to stay in tune with God. I want to take the knob off. Amen. I want to take the knob off today. Amen. There's no other way but God's way. I want to be in tune with God. Amen. Oh, friend, even a guitar just sitting by itself. Do you know that guitar, that bass, or a regular string instrument? After a while, it needs to be checked to be on tune. Well, it's just been sitting there. Even sitting there. The different temperatures of a building. The different things. Amen. It still has to be tuned. My God, I want to be in tune. I want to be in tune with the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to be in tune with the Spirit of the Word. I don't want to get to the place that I'm so haughty, heady, high-minded, that I lose my emphasis and I'm out of tune. God has called us in this hour to stay with Him, to stay on tune. Amen. I don't want to go down the path of the foolish. Amen. I don't want to go down that path. Amen. There's no discernment, easily deceived, easily disconnected. The next thing, and I want to hit this one home because I want to put a nail in a sure place. A foolish person is one that is a grudge holder. They've given in to bitterness and they won't let go of it. It just won't let go of it. You ever seen somebody hold a grudge and become foolish? God, I can't afford to go to hell because of a pride, a grudge inside of me, something rooted at me that I just can't forgive and leave it alone. I can't do what's right. I know people that's held grudges for years over foolish stuff. Two brother-in-laws at a table where their kids were young and they were married to beautiful women. They got in an argument. Years went by. They taught their kids to hate their first cousin. They taught their wives to hate their sister. And there come a day and an hour when that old men, they had to be at a funeral together. And somebody asked him, says, what caused your grudge, your argument? He said, I can't remember. They went to the other man. What caused? You know, I don't even remember. But they still held that grudge. My Lord, I want the Holy Ghost to work on me. Amen. If you haven't released somebody, amen. If you haven't given somebody liberty, I don't care how bad they've done you. I don't care if they ran over you, even backed over you and opened their door and spit in your face. Amen. I cannot afford to hurt and hold a grudge. Amen. And let it keep me out of the things of God. Hear me, saint of God. It's not worth it. Amen. It's not worth being a fool. All because you're hanging on to something that poisons you. Now, I will say this. There are those that will continue to hurt and do things that you just have to forgive and say, okay, God, I'm just not getting around them no more. If they're in constant agitation, amen, I'm learning to stay away from them. I had a man that every time I come around him, he knew how to get me stirred up. And he got me stirred up and get me to talking, and he'd go tell somebody what I said. And I got myself in trouble. It's kind of like Simon Peter. You know, Simon Peter had his sandal strap in his mouth a lot of times. You know what size foot shoe you wear? That's what size mouth you have. But this fellow, every time I got around him, saint, hear me. I'm trying to get something over in your hearts today. This man always had that ability to start it up. Is strike that match and get it burning in me. And I get to talking. And no sooner he get me to talking, and pretty soon he'll pull somebody that we knew in a conversation. Even though he called their names, I would just say, uh-huh, yes. I would comment like that, yes, I never said anything. And he would say, oh, yes, oh, Brent, he said this too about you. After a while, I realized, this guy is nothing but a troublemaker. Amen. The Bible says you need to mark those that cause division.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be around somebody that's always, amen, causing division, always walking around with a chip on their shoulder. Amen. I would love them. I would pray for them, but I cannot afford to sit at the seat of the scornful. I can't afford to just bow down, amen, and lay down, amen, with those that will poison my spirit and poison my thinking. Amen. Don't be fooled, friend. The foolish person is always holding on to something. Revenge. Man, I heard it preached this week so beautifully. King Saul. King Saul, when he was chosen to be king, hear me, was an humble man that took care of his father's donkeys. The Bible says he was head and shoulders tall. He was a very handsome man. The Lord began to use him, God anointed him to be the king of Israel. I want you to hear this. The Lord spoke to him to go to a certain place, and the priest was going to come with him, and the priest was going to do the work of a priest and offer the offering. But he got impatient with the man of God because the man of God didn't show up on time according to the king. The king offer the sacrifice. As a result, from that day forth, when the man of God came, he said, I'm telling you, it's not going to be the same anymore. From that day forth, something happened in King Saul. Something began to grow in him. Instead of that humble man that was head and shoulders taller than everybody else, he became a monster. From thenceforth, every time you find Saul, he had a spear in his hand. I mean, you was around him with that spear. Amen. You could hear him thumping it on the ground. God anointed a young man named David to be king. And the people were singing, Saul has killed 1,000 and David has killed his 10,000. What did King Saul do? He had thumped that spear and say, oh, I can't stand that young man. I can't stand him. Jealousy and pride. Foolishness. Hey, they were on the same team, folks. When he should have been rejoicing because 10,000 were killed, he was upset because David was used. David goes because Saul's troubled. Think with me. He's asked to come play in a minister. And guess what happens while he's there? David is trying to play the harp. King Saul throws the sword. From thenceforth, and that happened 2 times, I believe. I tell you what happened. Amen. He became a monster. He became a monster. Anybody knows what the Bible says? How he died. Amen. When the Amalekite, who he should have killed a long time ago, he should have destroyed all the Amalekites. Amalekites said he died with his sword, with his spear in his hand. His spear in his hand. Amen. I'm going to tell you, folks, we need to put the spear away, and we need to put a harp in our hands. Amen. We need the glory of the Lord in our life. Amen. I want a right spirit. I want to maintain it. Don't be that foolish person that is loaded down with the grudge of your life. But be that overcomer. Be that person that walks with God. Amen. Don't be a King Saul. Amen. That lets foolishness begin to ruin you and rule your life. But let the glory of the Holy Ghost lead you. Amen. Judas, Abner, King Saul, different ones. They chose to go down the pathway of foolishness. But there's a path of righteousness. I want to read something to you today. The town lay from great friend. The Bible would tell you, precious people, he sent me this text, and I want to read it to you. He said, perilous times, idolatrous times, perverted priorities, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. This year's Super Bowl is being held in Las Vegas, Nevada. The new stadium seats over 65,000 people.
It's going to be the most expensive Super Bowl ever. 65,000 people. Catch this. The cheapest seats begin at $6,200. $6,200 a seat. The best seats are $52,000 each. The box seats, the suites that the box suites are $2.5 million each. Okay, just a ticket. Just a ticket while I go, $6,200. The best one is $52,000. The box seats are $2.5 million. And that's Harris Faulkner's making this statement on Fox News. And he said, there is more news. This year's game will bring a total revenue of $662 million revenue. $662 million revenue. Now, think about this. They probably won't get to spend all their time just sitting in their expensive seats. If you had an expensive seat, they're not going to stand all the time sitting in it. They're not just there to sit and be a spectator. They're going to be on their feet. They're going to be, woo, hollering, jumping up and down. And they're going to be shouting for their team. Think with me. They're going to buy food and drinks for outrageous prices. Very few will be offended by loud noises. They expect it, accept it, and join in it. They're going to be talking about that experience for the weeks to come. Brother Townley says, how does your worship compare to the worship of their gods? Is your excitement and adoration bubbling, overflowing? Stir up the gift in you. Wake up that within your soul. You got the best seat in the house because it's called the mercy seat. Most people don't even realize when you come to church, it's because the grace and the mercy of God that you get to sit where you sit today because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you thankful that he brought you out of a horrible pit? Amen. And friend, you got the best seat in the house. Amen. I'm not going to be one who just comes. Paul said we are fools for Christ. I'm going to be one that is a fool for the things of God. I'm going to be lost in the things of God. That when I come, I lift my hands. I'm just not going to lift them up because the service leader said, come on, let's all lift our hands. I'm not going to be the one that waits till I hear the sound of a drum or a familiar song to worship God. Hey, friend, I'm going to stand for my champion. I'm going to raise that banner of honor. You know, sometimes in the house of God, it's not all the skip and shout and the jump. Sometimes it's just with that allegiance and that honor. Friend, I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to take a knee, amen, when the banner should be lifted up. I'm not going to be a mockery. I'm not going to be one that just sits there to God. But friend, I'm going to walk the right path when I come to God. But, think, there's some that come to the house of God and lets the devil get them to step in the path of the foolish. That this is the house of healing and intensive care. And we come here and we're so easily distracted by the things of the world and the things that we need to do outside. All the different things around us. We're here to be entertained. We're here for this reason or that reason. No, friend. Amen. I got the most expensive seat. It costs my Savior. Amen. I've got the winning team that will not lose. Amen. One of these teams are going to lose today. Amen. But, oh, friend, I got the King of Kings, the crown of God. Amen. That I have. Amen. The God that is crowned with mercy and grace. They crowned him with thorns, but I'm going to crown him with honor, praise, and glory. Amen. Friend, I'm not getting in the path of the foolish. I'm not going to be that one that is fooled when I come to the table of God. It's like this. I thought about it. I was reading Leviticus this morning. If you had a blemish on you, you had to go to the priest, and the priest had to examine it. If you had a scab, you had to go to him. And people couldn't serve in the temple if they had a blemish. If your eye wasn't right, your ear wasn't right, your foot wasn't right, your backbone wasn't right, you had no part.
But I love it when I read in the New Testament when Jesus talks about that wedding invitation
that was sent out. And the servant came back and said, I'm sorry. This one says he had a business deal to go to. This one had to be there. This one had to go here. This one had other obligations.
And the master said, go to the highways and the byways. Go get the lame, go get the blind, and go get the halt. You know what the servant did? Anybody knows what happened? The servant said, Master, I've already done it. He knew the mind of his master. He had already went to the highways. The tables were already full with the main. Those who were normally not welcome at the table, this man. I want to tell you, friend, I'm thankful that such were some of us. How many come from a broken past, a miserable life? Amen. How many of you, amen, were not fit? Amen. Oh, friend, you had no good. You had no loyalty. You have no reason to be in the house of God. But mercy, amen, made a ticket for you. Mercy made reservation. Stand with me this morning. Amen. You got the best seat in the house. Amen. The King of Kings laid down his life for you. And we come to church and we miss it. All because we don't crown him with glory and honor. And we become fools for missing out the whole purpose of the house of God. Let's gather and pray right now. Amen. I want you to come lift your hands around the front this morning. I feel the Lord right now ministering. Amen. The Lord wants that praise and attention from you. Amen. If they could do that today, amen, in Las Vegas, Nevada, amen, in a stadium, amen, I deserve to give God the very best. He deserves my honor. He deserves my praise. Come on, friend, don't stay back. Amen. Would you come and give the Lord that crown of worship? Hallelujah. But I don't fit. Amen. Oh, I don't care how bad off you've been. I don't care how unworthy you may be. Amen. The master's made reservations for you at his table. Amen. Would you lift your hands around the front right now? Amen. Hallelujah. Don't miss it. Don't get aboard. Amen. The bandwagon of the foolish and be distracted from your purpose. Hallelujah. Go ahead and love the Lord with me. Amen. Push aside everything and say, God, you're holy. You're worthy to be praised. I love you, Jesus. I give you praise. Hallelujah. Sing it, Sister Christina.
Hands, I worship your name.
I worship him. I love you, Jesus.
You are awesome.
You're awesome. This is your hour.
Worthy.
A fool will gamble
praise
it away.
Lord, I
a fool will reason it away.
Hands,
a fool will push it away.
Worship your home.
Of the Lord right now. Hallelujah.
There is no greater honor than giving you praise. Lord, my heart is
come on, just adore the Lord. Would you thank the Lord right now for what he's done for you? Come on, he's paid for you to come to him.
Up my hands,
he paid for you to have a seat. To have an opportunity to enter into his courts.
Lord, I lift up my hands and I worship your name.
You are worthy.
Awesome and holy. Worthy of praise. Lord, I lift up my hands.
Hallelujah. Come on. Raise your banner, friend. Are you looking around today? Are you doing the same old thing you always done in the house of God? Are you really connected? Will you connect to the Lord right now? Lord, I love you. I praise you, Jesus. I give you that honor. I give you my honor today, Jesus.
Lord,
song. Come on, put that harp, get that harp in your hand of praise. Honor to the King, Lord, I worship you. I love you, Jesus. As a boy, I can remember getting to church, and the prayer room was behind the platform. The men went on the right side, the ladies on the left side. And I was a man that I can still hear his voice. He's gone past years ago. And this was when he walked in the prayer room. This was his word. His name was Brother Lawson. He hollered, "Wake us up, Lord! Wake us up, Lord!" We moved to Texas. Moved to Bay City, Texas. There was a young man. There's a young man. And I see his face. I can't remember his name. He had a real high-pitched voice. And his voice is still in my brain when I come to the house of God, because he revolutionized my approach. He said, "Jesus," his high voice, "this is for you. Jesus, this is for you, not me. Jesus, if you don't touch me, I want to touch you. Jesus, this is for you." A lot of times it's the other way around. I always thought, I don't move till God moves. I don't pray till I feel something. I don't worship till I'm in the groove or in the mood. But as a 16-year-old boy walking and hearing that young man pray that, I would never forget it. "Jesus, this is for you, not me. I'm going to touch you. I'm going to love you, even though I don't feel you." Hallelujah. And I hear Brother Lawson said, "Wake up. Look where we at." Some of you, you come with a bucket, but you leave with an empty bucket. All because you just don't draw waters from the wells of salvation. This is where you need your help to face your Goliath tomorrow. You better get your bags full. You need to get those five smooth stones, because in the house of God, God will water your soul. God will bless you. God will give you ammunition for tomorrow. But more than that, I get to connect with the King. One more time, let's lift our hands and thank the Lord. Ask him, "Lord, wake me up. Wake us up today, Lord Jesus. Wake us up in our prayer style and our mindsets, and help us to love you, to worship you, God, to give you our best. I love you, God. I don't want to play around, Jesus.
I want to honor you. This is for you today. This is for you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Look what he gave for you. $52,000 a seat. $2.5 million for a suite. And it all will be over in a few hours. And somebody sitting in a certain seat, he's going to walk out as a loser today. And even those that walk out saying, my team won, he really didn't win nothing. But you know what? When you come to God, you don't leave a loser. You may have battles, but I'm not a loser. I'm the winner. I'm the victor. Amen. I'm the child of God now, washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Ghost. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to work on you, how you worship, how you pray, even at home. I kneel down when I pray. I pray in my living room. And after a while, when I get up, I got another chair just sitting over there now. And I said, I'm not pretending. And some people like to pretend. I'm not pretending. But I'll say, God, I know you're in this room seated as close as this chair is. Before your throne. And when I begin to pray, I talk to the Lord like I'm talking as if he's sitting there. When I go to mama's house, I like to sit there and she's sitting in one recliner and I get in the other recliner. We can verse. Why not in God's house? Why not when you go to the Lord in prayer? Amen. Talk to the Lord. Are you the one that begs? Oh, God. Amen. And I want to be blasphemy by no means. Is your worship joyful? Or like a carnal friend of mine said, why is it some people, when they come to church, they look like they're straining on a commode? Be in the house of God. There's sometimes God burdens us. I'm not trying to be crazy, but I want to be joyful. I want to be appreciative.